Today on Talk to Tea, we welcome Megan Smith. Megan is a no-bullshit life coach who works with professional and entrepreneurial women to move past burnout and guilt and into fulfilling and satisfying lives and businesses. As a former lawyer, Megan knows what it's like to power through life as a people-pleasing perfectionist, looking good but feeling miserable. Today, Megan is committed to savoring life, making an impact, and taking exceptional care of herself. And she supports her clients to do the same. Listen up as Megan and I explore spirituality as the key to unlocking a wildly successful business. Let's dive in. All right. We welcome today to Talk to Tea, Megan Smith.
Hi. Megan. I feel like there should be like a drum roll. Megan Smith.
Yeah, and I agree. I think we'll put a drum roll in there.
I think you need a drum roll. Yeah, I think you should.
Definitely. So Megan and I thought we would jam today on all things spirituality and business.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Quickly becoming one of my favorite topics. So I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. Me too. I'm excited about this too. And I think we share something in this, and that it is unlikely that myself, and I know you have shared this also, yourself might actually even be dabbling in this subject matter. Just not predictable at all. Hey,
if someone had told me 10 years ago, hey, you'll be on a podcast and you'll be a coach and you'll be talking about spirituality and being an entrepreneur, I would have been like, that's impossible. Because 10 years ago, I was in law school and I was headed for this legal career, and there was absolutely no spirituality in my life whatsoever. So I would have been like, you got the wrong Megan Smith. There are a lot of us in the world. You have the wrong one. Here we are.
Here we are. What was your first foray? Like what was the first thing that you can think of that began to direct you down that pathway? Or
Well, so you know, one of the ways Tracy and I know each other is that we both trained through the same coach training program, and there's a spiritual component in that coach training program. And when I showed up for that particular training module and I heard that that's what the module was, I thought, oh God, here we go. Like, you know, really, like, this is not what I signed up for, you know? And so I had a lot of resistance to it. And yet there was this part of me that it made a lot of sense to, you know, there was a part of me that was like, you know, I can listen to this. Like there might be something here for me. And that was the beginning of me noticing the difference between, you know, I knew intellectually there was a difference between religion and spirituality, but I didn't know how to bridge that gap. And I think I thought that it was like either you're religious or you're like this woo-woo, like spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been listening to a voice that was saying like, there is like, you must have a greater purpose. And to me, that's a spiritual conversation. Mm-hmm. That there's a greater purpose to you being than to you being a lawyer. Like there's something I felt called to, but I didn't know what to call it. And I wouldn't have called it spiritual at the time. So I just didn't know how to bridge that gap between those two things. Like, how do you have a spiritual presence in your life without being either of those two things? Because neither of those two things felt like me. So in this training program, when I was brought this conversation, I listened to the audiobook of the book Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And that was a real life-changing listen for me. If you have read the book and never listened to it, I highly recommend listening to it, because it's Ed Asner and Ellen Burstyn who play God in the book. It's really, really awesome. And I can remember exactly where I was. I was in the shower. We just bought a house. I was in the shower. We've since renovated it, so we don't have that shower anymore. And I don't think I was listening to it in the shower, but I think I had just been listening to it. And it dawned on me. So I grew up really Catholic. That's not exactly true. I was raised by my mom mostly. My dad wasn't really in the picture. My mom was not in any way religious or really spiritual, I wouldn't say. Not at least not in a way that showed up in our everyday life. And my dad was very, very, very religious. And so even though he wasn't an active part of our lives, he was still there in the periphery. And I was still close with some of his family. And when I say really religious, I mean like very religious Catholic. And so, and I went to Catholic school, which in Alberta doesn't really mean, I grew up in Alberta, Canada, and Catholic school is still public school. So it's not as if I was like wearing uniforms and going to mass or anything like that. It was just like a public school system. And it, you know, we would pray at the beginning of the day and I'd go to religion class. So I realized I was, as I was listening to this audiobook, that even though a long time ago I had eschewed all of that, like as young as 11, I was like, this religion thing is kind of crap. Like, you know, I don't really believe in any of this stuff. It's, I could see how oppressive it was to people. No offense to anyone listening who has religion in their life, but for me, it was like, this isn't adding up for me, this whole thing. And so I started to push against it. And so that was kind of where it ended for me. I'm like, this is not for me. And even though I'd done that, as I was listening to conversations with God, I could see that it still had its grip on me. This idea that this, if there was a God, it was a God who was keeping score of my life, and a God who was a punishing God, was still very much playing out in the background for me. Even though I didn't subscribe to any of it on a mental conscious level. That was really eye-opening for me, that I still had that playing out in the background. So that whole, like that part of that training module with the coaching program is really when I started to just look at like, what are my spiritual beliefs? You know, what are they? And that was my first inkling that there might be something, a conversation worth having about how spirituality might fit into my life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. I definitely resonate with, you know, what you shared. That, first of all, that module in that training program with accomplishment coaching, by the way, we'll give them a decent mention here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Birthed both of us in our successful careers. And that module is very powerful. And we won't allude to which one it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll have to take the program to figure it out. But yeah, it definitely is extraordinarily powerful. And similar to you, I had, although a little different in that I did have Catholic school beginnings, which was interesting. I was like total one room schoolhouse run by nuns and wore the uniform and said the rosary. And it was very interesting beginnings in, you know, elementary school. And there was always like a mystical properties that I was intrigued by, but not so much the routine of it all. So yeah, that was definitely my early foundation, was that Catholic upbringing. And, you know, and then it was interesting because I didn't practice Catholicism myself. That was my beginnings, but certainly drifted away from that. And then it was over the course of like many years and things happening that I suddenly began to awaken to the more mystical properties, or the more, the things that can't be explained, was the way that conversation then became palatable for me. Talk to me a little bit about now what spirituality, like define that for me in terms of you.
Yeah, for me, it is that there is a power greater than me that is good and benevolent, and that we are innocent. That's really sums up like the, you know, that's more of like a bullet point version of what it is for me. Like that we are innocent and good. That's how we come into the world. That's how we leave the world. And everything else is just fear. And that that there is a power that cares for us, and that you can have a personal relationship with that power. Like, I also, I don't think that it's some like, if I do all the right things, I get access to this higher power. It's like, I can actually have a personal conversation with my higher power on a regular basis. And my intuition is that higher power speaking to me.
Mm.
And that higher power has a plan for me, but not in the like everything's predestined kind of way. It really is like, I have a very loose grip on it for a reason, because I don't think I can understand all of it. I don't think I can, like, you know, when I try to get too like, this is how it works, you know, God has a plan, but then I come in and I do, you know, if I get too mired in that, trying to explain it, I lose it, because it can't be explained. There's no way I could possibly understand all of it. So God, like, I call it God, and it's not like the Catholic God to me. It's just for ease of reference. I call God, God, yeah, because it's just easiest. You know, God to me is good, cares about me, is accessible to me at a moment's notice, takes care of the big and the small in my life. And I'm an innocent being who is fundamentally good and light. And I get to experience life the way that I was intended to, which is as though I'm a, like a good human being who is innocent. The innocence thing is really important to me. That's been a really foundational piece, I think, because of my Catholic upbringing, that this idea of like original sin and we're bad, we're like called to evil and all of that, like that doesn't work in my world. if I start going down that road, it's like a very, very bad place for me to go. So that's why I keep talking about that innocence piece, because it really gives me a lot of access to my spiritual side. It gives me a lot of access to surrendering in my life. It gives me a lot of access to being present in my life. Just like, I'm doing the very best I can, and so is everybody else, and nobody's bad.
Yeah I love it. I love, yeah, it's interesting that when you say innocence, I automatically think childlike wonder.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, yeah, I think period.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like this, like, we are not meant to know all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's innocence in both ways, right? It's like, it's exactly, it's like the wonder of like, you get to start every day not knowing, because a higher power does know and you don't need to.
Yeah.
Right. And there's the like the innocence of like, I don't know any better. Right. Like there's something really limiting about, I think I should know better, or I think I do know better. So I'm not, why am I not doing better? Right.
Yeah.
Like I think that I think I should be working out 5 days a week, yet I'm not working out 5 days a week. And there becomes this like, I must be bad, I must be lazy, I must be all of that stuff. And it's like, well, you're just not there yet. It doesn't mean anything about you. There's that innocence piece too. Like you're really doing the best you can right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't be able to do any better than you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's this is a great like intersection. There's lots of paths to walk down from this point right here. What I notice is over the years where I have allowed my head to drive me, you and I both come from strong business backgrounds, you know, very entrepreneurial family over here, you know, steeped in law, that kind of thing. Also, there was always this like drive to figure things out.
Yes.
There was a previous business where the model was, you know, figure it out. Everything was head driven. And in that busy world, not a lot of time to actually stop and experience. And so the notion of this business where it very much is about being.
Yeah.
There is the opportunity to actually allow and generate spaciousness for intuition to actually be the driver. And it, I think our language almost is inadequate as we discuss this, you know, intuition being the driver. Nuh-uh. It's actually more of a, you're right. It is difficult to put words around an experience.
Yeah. Cause you're right. Intuition isn't even it. Like, cause we hold intuition as like our gut, but it's actually information.
Yeah.
I think this is where like, I'm so new to my spiritual journey. There probably is a word for what we're talking about. out, you know, and like, and, but I just don't have it yet, but it doesn't stop me from accessing it or trying to talk about it or trying to explain it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's interesting too, because, you know, there's that potential trap to fall into, and this is what it should look like, mm-hmm. which I assert is, you know, if the reason for our objects and our, you know, pray to this and your altar looks like that. And, you know, rather than, can it be all right? Can we allow it to be okay to know what that experience is without having to have the appropriate language? Or
totally,
I think that's part of it too, right? It's totally. Like allowing that wide open unknown space.
Yeah. And so this, I think this is the part where, you know, I think it's helpful to talk about business, you know, because if you, so we come from, you know, like you said, we come from this world where like you figure it out and you have the power and you have the answers, and it's self-reliance to the extreme, which is fine. It's fine. It works. And a lot of people have very successful businesses doing that. But what they also usually have is a lot of burnout.
Yeah.
And a lot of fear. Well, fear leads to burnout. So, you know, those aren't separate things. But they have burnout. They have fear. They have anxiety. They have, you know, their well-being might be out the window, because you can only be self-reliant for so long. Like, you're only one person. And mm-hmm. so it's like really robbing you of like bringing spirituality into your business. Brings in this, it's like bringing in another person. It sounds crazy. Like I said, I never thought I'd be saying something like this, but it really is like bringing in another person, because if you think you have to find all the answers, you are limiting yourself to what your puny human brain can accomplish, because mm-hmm. you're gripping tightly to it. And you're like, I'm going to find the answer. Meanwhile, there's like, if you tap into it, there is this unknown thing that actually has you, and it has all along, whether you realize it or not. That's my theory. I'm not saying it's true for everybody. Like, I don't know. It feels true for me. Like this, whether or not I'm making conscious contact with my higher power is doing the work anyway. And so why don't I just enjoy the benefits of that and yeah. like learn to hand it over to that higher power. And then what's possible is so much beyond what I could have figured out on my own.
Yeah.
But yeah. I can only get there if I allow for not knowing and allow some space for like, I don't need to know what my higher power has in store. I don't need to know what the solution is going to be. I don't need to go find it, because it's going to get clear to me if I open that channel.
Yeah.
Totally. Do I sound crazy?
No, I am. No, not crazy whatsoever. Adorable weirdo. Absolutely.
Right. A little bit.
Right place for that. So yeah. And I fully resonate with this in that, you know, that don't you find that it's at some of the craziest times in your business that, you know, for example, where you're, I don't know, like for me, there's been strife, there's been struggle, there's been those moments where, you know, if someone said to me, hey, just relax and breathe and get present and lean in and trust God has your back, that, you know, like if you think about those first moments as you're developing something,
yeah,
there's no way that is something that sounds sane nor right.
No, and it's really annoying when people used to say that to me. I was like, okay,
yeah,
it's totally annoying.
Until you do.
And then you're like, wow.
Why didn't someone tell me this sooner?
Totally.
The art of being human. That thing you've been trying to tell me for 6 months, I just did it. Why didn't you tell me sooner?
Right.
Yeah. And it is, you know, like if there's like one thing that I would love to convey to people that are in business, and I don't think it matters whether you've been in business a long time or a short time. Mm-hmm. I think there's always a time and place for this. You mm-hmm. know, it's kind of like turning on the radio and you hear the right thing at the right time and you're like, that's that's it. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
But it's that, you know, going against the grain sometimes is the thing.
Yeah.
That leads us to experience this thing that we're talking about, that spiritual God's got your back experience.
Yeah. I almost think you need to go against the grain.
Yeah.
Because you've created the grain. You think that someone else has created it, but you've created it. And so it almost requires you to go a little against your own grain that you've created. It's going to feel counterintuitive. It's going to feel like you're letting go of something and there's nothing below you.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to feel like if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, that's the piece where it's like, just let it go. And it's going to work for you better than you could have imagined. You know, I think that's those moments you're talking about where it's like, someone says that to you and you're like, I can't let this go. Like, it's too scary to let it go. I won't be okay. And when you learn to, you're more than okay. It might not look like what you thought it was going to look like. You know, you also have to let go of what okay is going to look like for you, you know, but you're going to be more than okay. And there's a solution that you can't possibly think of.
Yeah.
As long as you're gripping tightly and being like, no, this is the way. This is the way. I got to go this way. I'm sure of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about this and I think about some, for example, like real estate transactions I've been a part of. And I always, like, you know, tell my kids this, anything that you're driving hard for, that you're having to really, like, there's a difference between really going for it and what I think of as driving hard for something where there's extreme personal cost.
Right. Like forcing something.
Exactly. Forcing an outcome. And, you know, forcing those outcomes, you're like, oh man, I really get that there was something that really had my back that I was fighting. And had I just stepped in the flow of that thing I was fighting, that, you know, I wouldn't have experienced this, or I wouldn't have experienced that. It would like seeing all these moments and opportunities to trust and be in that moment.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you actually sent me this question once when I was struggling with something, and it's a Mary O'Malley question. Go check out Mary O'Malley questions if you've never heard of them. She's she's no longer with us, but she has some great questions. If you Google Mary O'Malley questions, and one of them is, what wants to happen here? Is that how it's phrased? Yeah. What wants to go here? What wants to happen here?
Yeah.
And that's, as you're speaking, it reminds me of that, right? Like, if you're having to force, that's not what wants to happen here.
Yeah.
And you got to trust that what does want to happen is in your best interest, even though you think in your small human capacity that this is what needs to happen. This is the part of letting go of what you think is right and look at what wants to happen and trust. Then that's a muscle you got to flex and practice, is to trust that what wants to happen is in your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing to do, but that's the thing. And if you can do that in your business, like, you can have anything you want and with ease, because that's, you don't have to force anything anymore.
Yeah. It's really super interesting. I can think of like a couple of places to go with this. And a thought just occurred to me about my own beginnings, you know, what we thought as a family emigrating to Canada when I was 10 was going to happen with my dad's career certainly didn't. And it became urgent. And in that moment where there was like some desperation and fear and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? And he pivoted. And then that, you know, that running down that different pathway, completely polar opposite from which he was, you know, trained to do. Then became a multi-generational business.
Right.
So it is kind of interesting, in that moment, harebrained idea turned into this, you know, really successful business that lasted for several generations. Like, who would have thought? And in that moment, crazy time. Right.
Yeah. It's easier to see it in the rearview mirror, right? Like, it doesn't always feel that way when you're staring down the barrel of it. I'm sure your dad wasn't like, oh, I'm super clear that this is what's for me to do and it's going to work out okay, right? Like, that's the faith part, is like, what wants to happen here seems to not be the thing that I thought was supposed to happen. And I'm going to go over here, and it's scary because I don't have any guarantees. So yeah. It's easy to look back and on those moments and be like, oh yeah, of course, you know, that's what wanted to happen. But when you're in it, it doesn't feel that way. It feels really scary.
Yeah. And you, my friend.
Yes.
You too. In that there you were, you know, on the path, lawyer, success, you know, career path ahead of you. And then all of a sudden, boom, over here doing that thing. So yeah. I imagine there was a collision there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine your next question is, tell us about that. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you about that.
It's like, you know me.
Yeah. So, you know, I went to law school when I was almost 30 already. So it was already a second career for me. Even that in itself was a bit of a leap, you know? And went to law school, top of my class, you know, got a great job, all of that. And, as I was coming to the end of my schooling and going into, I had a clerkship with the Court of Appeal, and, clerkships are, at least in BC, in British Columbia, they're pretty like a good gig. Like, you don't work too hard. It's, you know, mentally stimulating, but you're not working, you know, breaking your back. It's not like working at a law firm. So during that year was really when I was like, like, this is kind of nice. And I don't really want to work 70 hours a week or 80 hours a week or whatever. And yet I was due to go to this big downtown law firm. And so that was for sort of the first inkling I had, but I was never planning at that point. I wasn't like, it wouldn't have occurred to me that I was going to leave law, because I just spent, you know, lots of time and money training as a lawyer. And it was part of my identity. You know, my ego loved my ego loved to be called a lawyer. And so it wasn't until I had my first, well, that's not true. As I came to the law firm and started practicing, I'm like, I know this particular setup isn't for me. And then I got pregnant and had my first child, and I knew I didn't want to go back to this firm, but I thought I would get a job at another firm or something like that. I spent the year on mat leave, you know, being a little bit tortured about it, because this law firm paid me a lot of money to go on mat leave. Like, they topped up my salary to the tune of $30,000. And if I didn't go back to the law firm, I had to pay that $30,000 back.
Mm.
So what started as like being pretty convicted that I didn't want to go back, as the year went on, I was like, that money would be pretty nice. You know, like $30,000 could go a long way. We live in Vancouver. It's a very expensive city. We've got a kid now. And so I actually ended up booking my return to work date with them. They talked me into it. They're like, you know, you can work reduced hours. If any lawyers are listening to this, you'll have a good chuckle at that. It's really cute that they said that. So I had my return booked, and a week to go to my return date, I was like, I can't do this. And two things that really came up for me were, one, you know, I would have had to go back for a year to keep the money. If I left within the year, I would have had to pay it back. And one, like, a year is a really long time to be miserable. You know, like, that's a long time. What if that's all I got? What if all I got is 5 years left and I spent 20% of it miserable for $30,000? Like,
yeah,
no. And the other thing related to it, but I was like, is this really what I want to teach my kids? That their happiness is worth $30,000. You know, that they can trade in their happiness. And now I look at that. At the time, I wouldn't have had this language or wouldn't have been able to see it. But now I look at that. That's a spirit. To me, that was a psychic change. You know, that was spiritual intervention saying, like, hey, you're worth more than this. Like, you were not put here on earth to make money and look good. You know, like, that's not what you're here for. And that I listened to that voice, and it was scary. Mm-hmm. It was really scary because my identity was, besides the money, my identity was really, 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 really wrapped up in this. Like, I went to law school to look good, basically. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care about the law. I went to law school because I thought it would make me look good. Mm-hmm. You know, people love lawyers. Well, they don't, they love to hate lawyers, but they respect them. They put them on a pedestal. And I loved being on that pedestal. Oh, it felt so good. And so that was hard because I didn't know what worth I had if that wasn't it, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I still don't, you know, I still struggle with that sometimes. Like if I'm not performing and using this big old brain I have, which works pretty well, to mm-hmm. solve all the world's problems, then what am I good for, you know? And I've done a lot of work on it, and I do know, like, I've done a lot of work, and I know that I have way more worth than that, but it still comes up for me, you know, that's what I'm here for, is to, like, solve problems or something. So that's how I ended up leaving the practice of law.
I love what you said there about how your, you know, like being a lawyer, it was like your identity was all wrapped up in that. Yeah. And, you know, so too, I mean, we could insert accountant, we could insert, you know, baker, candlestick maker, like it doesn't matter what we insert in there. Exactly. Like some people join and become a coach and see, you know, have this dream of what they think it is. And then they get in it and they're like, what? Oh my gosh. But there's this like identity that is formed that then becomes the thing to get attached to, rather than actually experience or give yourself the experience of actually what if I were just to get that I can redefine my life in this moment, how might I redefine it? There's that thing about hanging on to that identity again, you know, we're comfort seeking machines, right?
Totally.
Just have it that it's, you know, natural and a part of it, and may exactly be a good tip off anyone that's listening, that's like thinking about, you know, what might be next or reinventing, or is to first get present to like the identity that they've caused and created and reconstructed for themselves. Like, you know, is it about hanging on to that's getting in the way of them, you know, redefining, moving on. And as you say, not spending like 30,000 or having $30,000 be the value in their life. Right.
Yeah. And to me, that's a spiritual problem. Like that's a spiritual disconnect.
Totally is.
If you are trading your identity or your happiness for an identity, is really like, you know, if you're trading your peace, your fulfillment, your satisfaction for an identity, like you said, it's just a tip. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not bad. It's not a problem, but it's costing you something. And it's a spiritual disconnect because you're fighting what wants to be, you know, to go back to that conversation, it's fighting what wants to be. If you're forcing this thing that actually doesn't align with who you are.
Yeah.
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 It's not what wants to be. It's not what wants to go there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Megan, so we're talking about, you know, being attached to something and then recognizing that you're attached to it because of identity or, you know, what you think that gets you, a pedestal and all of that. But let's shift gears a little to then having made the shift. And, you know, to quote you, you say, spirituality is key to unlocking a wildly successful business.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I think the little asterisk on that is like a wildly successful business where you also get time for yourself. Like, because you can have a wildly successful business without spirituality. But like I said, you're probably going to be burning yourself out and disconnected from who you really are. Not probably. That's just my experience. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It could be different for some people. But the spirituality is like, when I say spirituality in that sense, I'm like that connection to a higher power. Like you got to know that you're going to be okay no matter what happens, so that you're not attached to every little thing that happens in your business. So that when a client gets upset with you, that it doesn't mean anything about you. It's just part of the process that you're in. It doesn't, you know, I have so many clients that have, you know, so much attachment to keeping every client perfectly happy, which I want to too. I want my clients, of course, I want my clients to be happy. I am in service of them. That's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. But if I get really attached to that, that everyone has to be perfectly happy all the time, it, you know, it drives things like having your email all on all the time, you know, not setting boundaries with clients, making yourself available, like all of that stuff. And it's just not sustainable. But people think they got to do that to have a successful business. And mm-hmm. in the gap for me is that you don't trust that your spiritual power has mm-hmm. you, that you're going to be okay if you don't manage all of this. And so people mm-hmm. will be like, oh, well, I could spend less time on my email. I guess I'm okay with making less money if I lose some clients. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on a second. Like that's a distrust in that you can have both. You know, you can have, it's going to be okay if you disappoint a client. And it's even a fallacy that you're going to disappoint a client if you don't email them back, you know, but yeah. you're going to be okay. You're going to be more than okay. So that's like a really simple example to put into like how it might play out. If you've got a disconnect from your spiritual side, you know, if you don't trust that you're going to be okay either way, you just get super, super, super attached and then you overwork yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is that the less I get attached, the more I trust, the more I hand things over to my higher power. And I mean that literally, like every morning I'm like, okay, God or whoever, like, again, I use God for ease of reference. I need you to have this today. Like, I don't know how this works. You know, there's so much humility involved. Like, I don't know how the world works. I don't know how my coaching business works. I don't really know how any of it works. Will you please direct it for me? Cause I don't know. Mm-hmm. And there's like, when I do that, I just move through my day so easily, you know, and people show up. Like people show up for me to coach, clients mm-hmm. show up for me to coach, opportunities show up for me because I am just able to move through my day with such ease. It sounds magical and it is, but it's also not. Like it makes sense to my logical brain that the more yeah. I let go, the easier it is for me. And yeah. the less work I do, the more money I make these days. I know yeah. it sounds crazy, but it really is true.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. And again, hearkening back to the beginning of our conversation, which is, and it can be the hardest thing to do.
Yes.
Where you aren't willing to trust, but you're absolutely, that's been my experience too. It's like every time I let go, I remember early days of building my practice and my coach saying to me, "You're fired for the day." And I was like, "What? I have mouths to feed. What are you talking about?" You know, it's like one of the lowest points of my coaching career. And I was like really in a, you know, place of struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it also looked like, and I know we can speak for any business right now where it looks like closing the doors might be the best idea. You know, it's like those moments, those heart-wrenching, you know, mind blowing, like
really everything's on the line. It feels like everything's on the line. Yeah,
totally. Like everything's on the line. And having my coach say, "You're fired for the day." It was the most like jaw dropping, awe inspiring experience ever.
Yeah.
Truly walking away, closing the door. And I remember walking the streets of Coronado in San Diego on that day. And her even crazier notion was, "And go get a massage while you're at it." And I'm like, "Are you crazy? I have $60 in my bank account. Go get that massage for $60 and just trust." And you know, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And you're absolutely, that is exactly what happened, is the next opportunity appeared, actually sitting in the spa. This is the true story.
Oh, so perfect.
And then from there, that, you know, that just led to more possibilities and more openings for my business. And yeah, and none of it was a strategy. Like it just really was about surrender and trust. Yeah.
What wants to go here? Like it does not want to go here that you need to keep driving yourself into the ground today. That's not what wants to happen here.
Well, the joke is I probably, you know, I could have done more of the same and it would have amounted to the same non-results.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I say, like, if you let some spirit into your business, if you can practice trusting that there's a higher power that's got your back, that what wants to happen is going to be just the right thing for you, you can have a wildly successful business and mm-hmm. you can have your well-being without burnout, you know, and it is simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's like something my coach often says to me is like, it's like dropping a pen. You know, it's like, that's like, it's as simple as that. Like, I am dropping this pen is my business. I am dropping it to my higher power. It's just opening up these muscles. But like, if I'm scared, I'm like, oh, I can't make my fingers open. I guess we Tracy and I are talking on video, so she can see me doing this with my fingers. But for those of you listening without the video, I'm holding an imaginary pen clamped in my fingers. And it's scary to let it go, but it's simple, right? So the action is simple, but the hard part is getting that muscle going, you know, practicing that muscle. And it's easier to practice it with smaller things than it is with your whole entire business, you know, when the stakes are really high. So,
yeah, so true. And not that we want to actually devise some strategy out of this conversation. And, you know, and what I'd really love is for people to just consider their own story and where they are in terms of like what they're up to and how does this, you know, how might they use this conversation to fuel or provide them evidence of the thing they should do next, you know? Totally. But it's like, if there were a strategy to be had from this conversation, it might be that, you know, even giving yourself small example, it was a perfect thing to say was that, you know, you may not be ready to trust the entire universe, your entire business to the universe or God in this moment, but what about something small that you can, you know, dabble and, as you say, like open things up in that way?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the practices my coach had me do, this is a while back when I was like starting to grow this muscle, and it was like intentionally grow your faith, like go and look for evidence, you know, and when you see it, text me about it or text someone about it, you know. And then I had a practice going with someone for a while, a friend of mine who also a coach, that was like, we would text each other every time we would have, you know, evidence that God was real and was working in our lives or someone else's life, you know, like basically like little miracles, right? Like tiny, tiny little miracles.
Nice.
Like, you know, I remember standing in line while I was doing this practice, like standing in line, and this baby was, I was at Old Navy, and this baby was like looking me right in the eye.
Ooh.
And I was like, I just had this moment where I was like, you know, it had nothing to do with my business, but it was an opportunity to like, I was like, oh, they're like, how could God not exist? Like, look at this baby. And it's like staring right into my soul. And I was like, this to me, like, this is a faith building moment that this baby is even here. Like, is a miracle. It truly is a miracle that humans exist at all. You know, like I can really get going then. But just practice looking for evidence that there's faith, or practice building evidence that there is this higher power that is so much more powerful. And like, you don't have to own the whole universe. There's a higher power who's got it. There's a higher power who like helps us make babies, because, you know, look at these bodies that we were given. Like, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
There's just so much faith to be gathered.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. For me, some of those moments have been encounters with hummingbirds at just the most incredible moments. And, you know, sitting on a park bench around the corner from the house and having a close, like face-to-face encounter with a hummingbird, you know, as I sit on this bench contemplating what next, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And you're right. It's just like build evidence in small ways every day, remaining open and being receptive to receiving them.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's interesting, right? It's like, I remember making the shift. You know, something I think people don't know about me is I come from a long line of mediums. Mm. I had a great, great grandmother that was a healer, hands-on healer. And I've always had this, spiritual vein coursing through my body, but it's like the outward appearance of me, you know, some colleagues or friends like giggle because they think of me, you know, in terms of, actually I have a nickname called the briefcase. Because they are like, I'm the most business example of a businesswoman that there could be. And I laugh at that because I've got this like deeply spiritual part of me. And I know like part of this, the letting go to allow for the spiritual, the deeply spiritual believer that I am to emerge and unfold in my business was a big struggle. It was identity based. I got it, but it's also, I think there's that, you know, again, for our listeners that might be in this profession, look this certain way, mm-hmm. and yet they have this piece. And for me, it was about bringing all those pieces together.
Yeah.
And it almost was like my past, my history, my roots and everything like coming together.
Yeah.
What about you? You have a...
Yeah, I think that's the piece for me about like bridging the gap between this religious aspect and this like woo-woo. Like I don't have any of that in my family. I don't really have any of that to call on. So I feel like I'm sort of forging this path that is new in my world, and it can be confusing sometimes because I'm like, I don't relate to like, to me, like Brené Brown is a spiritual leader who doesn't mm-hmm. look spiritual on the outside, right? Like she doesn't like that's the person that I look to be like, okay, like how can I embody the spiritual side of me that's also like pretty practical and pretty brainy, like how do I actually marry both of those things, because that is a part of me, like that logic brain, you know, attention to detail, you know, I can figure things out. That's actually a really beautiful thing that my higher power gave me. So I don't want to throw that out either, you know. So it's like, how can I marry my intuition with my brain? There's a great passage in I do a lot of 12-step work, and there's a great passage in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that's like, you know, step 11 is basically like, you know, you surrender your life to God. And mm-hmm. It's something like, oh, I wish I don't have it right here, but it's like, so we might, you know, we might use the brains that God gave us, right? Like when we're trying to control and play God in our lives, forcing, we're actually not using mm-hmm. the, like what God did give us, you know, because we're trying to force something. And so it's such a cool thing to be able to like, no, I thought I had to put that down. I thought that if I was going to embody the spiritual thing, I'd have to put down my logic brain.
Yes.
And I'm actually finding a way to integrate those two things, right? Like be the briefcase and the healer. Like,
absolutely. And it is funny because I think, you know, looking good is about other people. It's about ourselves, but if we didn't have other people,
right.
Yeah, we wouldn't care about looking good, you know? So, and, you know, for me, putting down looking good to fully embrace, there still is that, you know, I assert probably for our listeners, this might ring true, or you might hear something for yourself in this. It's that, you know, opportunity to be with the reactions as you step into this, you know, new pathway.
Yeah.
You know, may require walking through some fire, some comments, some who do you think you are? You know, I know that there's a few friends that were, you know, when I began talking about, you know, the stones that I use, that, mm-hmm. you know, with those like rich Scottish heritage, I do a lot of, work with stones. And I just remember sitting quietly and, you know, someone discovering that about me and, you know, to peals of laughter, right? It was like, in the moment, I thought, you know, there was a temptation to say, okay, I'll never unveil that part of myself again, but it ran so deeply through me that it was impossible to not actually be it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think that I think there's something scary. It's vulnerable mm-hmm. because it's in A Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual text, like, you know, Marianne Williamson always says, like, you know, this way of thinking, that like the spiritual way of thinking is a complete 180 from how our society works right now.
Yeah.
And so it's vulnerable to say like, I'm not playing that fear-based game. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to put my faith in something that doesn't make a lot of logical sense. And I know everyone else wants logic and answers because we think it's an antidote to our fear. It's actually not. It's a band-aid on a bullet wound, because there's no amount of, like, there's just no certainty in this world. And so it's like, you know, that doesn't do anything about our fear. It just puts a band-aid over it. So it's brave and it's scary to include spirituality in your business, in your way of life, because people aren't going to be, some people might be a little bit confused about it, and it might feel funny to them or whatever. And it's counter to what our society is based on these days.
Yeah. Totally.
I found this passage from the big book. So it says, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. So it's like, when we let go of trying to, like, you know,
yeah, I love it,
all the reins and everything, it's like our brains are pretty great, but they don't know everything, right? So if we let go of that, we know everything, we can actually use what they are good for, which is, you know, problem solving in the moment, or using them to contact our higher power, or, you know, so
yeah,
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, I do 12 step work. I don't do it for alcohol, but I did quit drinking about 3 years ago. And, I saw this friend of mine who I hadn't seen in years, and our relationship together was very alcohol based. And so I saw him last summer, and he was like, "Oh, so you're not drinking?" And I'm like, "No, I actually quit drinking 3 years ago." He's like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." And he's like, "So something about, like, I can't remember exactly the words he used, but he's like, you've given up alcohol." He's like, "But you don't do, like, the God stuff, right?" Because 12 step worker is like a very spiritual Christian program.
Based. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's spiritual. I think it's gone away from, like, Christian, but it's very spiritual. And he's like, "But not the, you don't do the God part." And I was like, "Well, actually, yeah, I do." And that was one of those moments, right, where it was like, it would have been easy for me to just be like, "Oh, no, that stuff's so stupid." But I'm like, actually, yeah, I do. Like, it's a pretty big part of my life these days, is like a spiritual practice. And it was uncomfortable, you know, and ultimately he's like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like, it wasn't a big deal. We still hung out and we had a great weekend together, and it wasn't, but there was that part of me that felt really vulnerable and silly, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's, you risk, you know, looking silly, and it's hard for our little egos to be with that sometimes.
Yeah. And yet it's so funny. It's kind of like trusting and surrendering. Same experience. Oftentimes it has the very opposite effect in that it inspires in some way.
Totally.
And, you know, I think we may as well be talking about, you know, giving up alcohol as we are starting something new that is revolutionary, or that someone hasn't thought of, or, you know, and people are looking at you like, "What, are you crazy?"
Yeah.
You know, I remember, well, actually, honorable mention, my cousin is amazing. He's this incredible skateboarder, and he just, you know, ran with his heart and his physicality and his, like, master of move mentality. Like, he's just amazing, and built this incredible business. And, you know, in the beginning, I remember, like, family members scratching their head and thinking, you know, "Come on, boy, you're not going to make a living out of skateboarding." And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, just following his passion and following what he loves, he did. And that's, it's so that cool. Same experience. It's, you know, being willing to pioneer and to do something different. It feels uncomfortable, and it's a vulnerable moment where you choose to follow that thing that to other people sounds harebrained.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the secret to your business? Prayer and meditation and God. Like,
what?
it sounds, even as I'm talking to you about it, I'm like, is this really, am I having this conversation? Like, it's so weird, but I really believe it. I really believe in it.
Yeah.
And I think people are really hungry for this conversation. I think people are really hungry for the conversation that's not religious, not like, you know, boot on a mountaintop, that's this, like, modern day you know, run of the mill, like I'm a spiritual being and like I like watching Netflix, you know, like my prayer is usually like in the car driving my kids to school. Like I'm not, you know, I'm not this like Zen person all the time. I get angry, I get scared, I can be a real jerk, you know, all of that stuff. It's not, you know, and I still consider myself to be a highly spiritual being. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Yes, I love that. And I think the world is definitely hungry for this conversation. People are hungry for this conversation. I mean, look at the year we've had, and we're, you know, some countries and provinces and are still having as really, you know, there's a lot of people that have simplified, that have found themselves contemplating, self-reflecting deeper and up more close and personal with themselves, where they're actually really sitting with, you know, now what?
Yeah.
You know, and the opportunity here is, now what? You get to say, with God at your back and spirituality underneath you, what?
What would you take on?
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. Talk a little bit, and I know we're going to wrap soon, but I want to steal a few of your words with regard to the stress and overwhelm that you talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you speak a little more about, you know, what you see for people in terms of how spirituality fits in there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's, it comes back to the, like, if you believe that you are the only, if you're going it completely alone, that you're the only one who can catch the pieces, that you're like just lone ranger, which most of, you know, most of the people that I work with have this, right? Independent woman, like don't need help from anybody. It's bad to ask for help. It's, you know, all of that stuff. If you believe that the world is not going to be okay if you take a break and rest, then you're in trouble. And to me, the thing that allows me to do that, to take a break and rest, is my faith. You know, my faith that actually, like, the better I take care of myself, the better my business will be, because my higher power wants that for me. My higher power wants me to have rest. My higher power wants me to go slow. My higher power wants me to enjoy my life. My higher power put me here to enjoy my life. And so it's like, if the more I can trust that and lean into that, the easier it is for me to take breaks. And my life right now is very, very relaxed. Like, and I make a lot of money doing it. Like, it's, you know, not to brag or anything, but like, truly, the more break I take, the more space I take, the more I build into my schedule to rest, the better my business does. And it's because the only reason I've been able to do that is because I've had the faith. I've built the faith muscle to the point where I'm like, I can listen to what's being called for me to do. And, and I believe that if I take better care of myself, my higher power is working in the background, like, you know, set the intention and then let the universe get to work and go do what there is for you to do. It's just borne out for me. Like, it's just true. Not to say, like, I still struggle to take the reins a lot. Like, I got this. I know what to do. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to call more people. You know, that still happens for me a lot, but, it's the knowing you're going to be okay. Not only are you going to be okay either way, but if you rest, if you take care of yourself, if you take care of that part of you, what you can have is beyond what you can imagine. Like, what you can have in your business financially, the impact you can make is beyond what you can imagine right now.
Nice. I think that's, that's a great thought to drop in the listening of our audience, for sure. And I think too, you know, spending time in that thought, allowing for reflection, deep reflection, for that pause, for what wants to emerge. It's such a delicious space. And it's so, as you say, counterintuitive in our microwave world, you know?
Totally.
30 seconds, you gotta have a pizza.
Totally. It's very counter to what we've been taught, that the harder we work, the more money we'll make. You know, the harder we work, blank. Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, learning that, like, the slower you go, the faster you go is revolutionary. And
slow down to speed up.
The only thing that's made that possible is a relationship to my higher power. I haven't been able to get it any other way.
Yeah. Totally. Love it.
Yeah.
Megan, is there anything we haven't touched on that you would love to?
I don't think so.
We covered
a lot of ground there.
We did cover a lot of ground. We certainly did. Any last thoughts for our listeners that might be sitting there on the fence or, you know, in those big corporate jobs and just looking to leap? Or,
I think, you know, keep your heart and ears open. I think that's, like, really, like, if you can keep your heart and your ears open and look for evidence, you know, look for evidence that if you, you know, look for people who have just followed something and that's made no sense, you know, look for, like, just keep it open. You know, mm-hmm. Notice when you're closing your mind and saying, like, this is how the world works. And just practice keeping your mind open. And you know, one of the things I would say is, like, if you're struggling with this, like, should I jump? Should I not? This is safe, you know, is just keeping your mind open. Like, what if I trusted that there's a solution to this that I haven't thought of yet, mm-hmm. you know, that I couldn't think of yet? What would that be like for me? Like, there are just so many more possibilities than you can imagine. Mm. So let yourself, you don't have to think of them all, because that's more of the, like, I need to find the answers, but just open up that there could be more possibility than you could imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Thanks for that. Megan, thank you so much for being with us today. You are.
Thank you.
It's, I'm about to fall in the trap of, you are brilliant. But
I am that,
reinforcing that old identity, but you are indeed brilliant. And, you know, thank you for so much for sharing and being willing to be vulnerable with us here today on Talk to Tea.
Thank you so much, T. It's a pleasure awesome. To talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Megan Smith, listeners, will be posting some deets and some delicious quotes that I heard coming out of that brilliant and intuitive mind.
Put those quotes up and then send them to me and I'll put them in my copy. That'd be great. I said that. Oh, that's cool.
So awesome. All right. Thanks, okay. Megan.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Talk to Tea with Megan Smith. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe and always leave room for a little magic in your life.